You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the situation with Palestine and Israel is that Palestinian territory, the whole of what is now Israel, used to be Palestine. In 1948, the State of Israel was created, and at that time, about a million Palestinians were expelled from their home. That was a day that's called the Nakba, the catastrophe, and those people and their progeny, generations that have come after them, are still living in the refugee camps in places like Lebanon and Jordan. Since that time, in 1948, there has been an ongoing struggle by the Palestinians to be able to return to their homelands, to their homes, and some of them still have keys to their homes. And that's what we see today.
What happened on Sunday? What was the Wall of Noise, and what was it hoping to achieve?
So the Wall of Noise was a noisy protest. So we brought along metal sinks, instruments, loud hailers, car alarms, all kinds of noise-making devices in order to disrupt a 70th anniversary celebration that was being held by the Zionist Federation, celebrating the founding of the State of Israel.
Do you think that the Zionist Federation have a right to celebrate such significant events?
I think the idea of Zionism is actually a racist ideology, and I think that the promotion of Zionism is essentially hate speech, because I think that the government of Israel is committing a campaign of ethnic cleansing on the Palestinian people and essentially terrorizing them to this very day out of their homes and out of their lawful lands. So we talk about the occupied territories, and those are two parts of Palestine that essentially are living under Israeli occupation. So that's Gaza and the West Bank. And those areas are living people, millions of people living under military occupation.
What is New Zealand or the New Zealand government's current relationship with both states, or how does it acknowledge both states?
Well, the New Zealand government's relationship with Israel has been, is a normal diplomatic relationship, except to say that Israel has committed a number of what would be considered rather aggressive acts against New Zealand in the last couple of years, and in particular using fake New Zealanders' passports to commit assassinations in other countries. And that's something that their secret intelligence service, Mossad, does. As far as the Palestinian Authority, New Zealand has done very well in acquiescing to a number of the UN resolutions around Palestine, but it doesn't take a particularly active role in advocating for Palestinian statehood.
Do you think internally New Zealand should allow such gatherings, or do you think it should keep a non-biased approach into what it allows from both states within New Zealand?
I guess what I would say is there aren't two states, right? Because the Palestinian people are living under a military occupation conducted and controlled completely by Israel, and their country is the West Bank is still subject to massive amounts of Israeli settlement. So when we talk about Israeli settlers, that's where we're talking about they're settling in occupied Palestinian land. So I don't think that there's any kind of equality between those two sides. On one hand, you've got Israel, a nuclear armed state with one of the largest militaries in the world. On the other side, you've got the Palestinians who have really very little state support and have almost no economic base. They've been subject to, Gaza has been subject to a blockade. So I guess in answer to your question, no, I don't think that these kinds of celebrations should be allowed. I don't think there's anything to celebrate. And I also think that, you know, we have to appreciate that states are not subject to human rights. So the State of Israel does not enjoy the right to freedom of speech. They are a state, and this is an event, is a giant propaganda exercise to legitimize an illegal military occupation and to make their kind of actions and activities as an apartheid state. So within the boundaries of Israel, Palestinians are subject to different laws. So they talk about being a democracy. They're not a democracy when they have different laws for different kinds of people. So no, I think when you're talking about those kinds of celebrations, No, they are not appropriate to have in New Zealand. It's like allowing, you know, the apartheid regime of the former South Africa to come here and celebrate apartheid South Africa, or Nazi Germany to come here and celebrate the Nazi state. I don't think that those are the kinds of things that we want to have here in Aotearoa.
Why do you think New Zealand holds such a harsh stance against a country like North Korea with little evidence, whereas with a country like Israel, we've seen 30 sniped deaths over the last months of journalists and those with physical disabilities in some cases, as well as children, from what I understand. Why do you think that New Zealand hasn't held such a hard line against Israel?
I guess what I would say is, who's Israel's greatest sponsor? The United States, you know, the world's largest capitalist economy. You know, I think the old adage, follow the money, holds really true in this particular case. Israel is supported by the West. It's supported by the United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, Australia, you know, these that essentially uphold and are willing to allow Israel to get away with all kinds of things. By the definition of our own terrorism legislation here in New Zealand, I think the state of Israel very, very clearly meets the definition of a terrorist organization. And yet we aren't talking about designating Israel as a terrorist state. So I think there's really a double standard in operation.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like expanded as well on how we'll easily or quickly label a country like Syria as a terrorist state, but we see perhaps more precise discrimination in a country like Israel, for example. Will there be more protests against the Israeli occupation of Palestine? I know there have been a few in the past month. Are you hoping to hold more?
Indeed we are, and I'm not sure whether you've seen, our comrades in Wellington, Peace Action Wellington, have put out a joint press release with us today about the Dock Edge Film Festival. They've got a film in the Dock Edge Festival sponsored by the Israeli Embassy. It's called Ben-Gurion Epilogue, and it's essentially about the founding of Israel. It is a state-sponsored piece of propaganda, and we will be conducting protests at the film screening. So the thing is that it's important to acknowledge that there is a global campaign called the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Campaign, BDS. And we are simply enforcing that. That's a cultural boycott. It's an economic boycott. It's a political boycott. And events that are sponsored or intimately linked with the Israeli government are subject to that boycott. We wrote to the Dock Edge Festival. We asked them to reconsider the showing of this film. And they said, no, they wouldn't reconsider it. And frankly, such a screening cannot be considered anything other than state-sponsored propaganda. So it is subject to the boycott, and we will be conducting protests at those screenings.
How can all New Zealanders, if they want to get involved, in this? You've mentioned the whole BDS system. Is that easily accessible, or are there any key things that we can do as people to support the Palestinian people?
I think the best thing that people can do is really to support the BDS campaign. And by that, I mean, if you are a member of a church, a school, a university, a club, a sports club, a union, anything, a workplace, you can actually join the BDS campaign. You can support it organizationally. So there's a number of the unions within New Zealand, for example, that have signed up to the BDS campaign. And it's really, like I said, it's our generation's essentially anti-apartheid campaign. You know, for many of us, our parents or grandparents even were involved in the struggle for freedom in South Africa. You know, lots of people here in New Zealand were part of the campaign to stop the racist rugby tours. Well, this is no different, really. And so we encourage people to get involved both by supporting BDS through organizations they belong to, but also, for example, in Auckland, you want to get involved in Auckland Peace Action, we would really welcome that. And also there have often been student groups up at the university, Students for Justice in Palestine, there's Cure to Gaza, there's a number of different groups, community groups, that people can get involved in to support the Palestinian struggle.
Back with another generic question. Did the Wall of Noise achieve what you hoped it would achieve this weekend?
Listening to some of the recordings closer to the stage where the where the speeches were happening, and including a member of the National Party, Alfred Nara, who also was a speaker at yesterday's event. I would say the Wall of Noise most definitely achieved its desired outcome. It was so loud over there from the recordings that I've heard that it would have been difficult for them not to feel their event was disrupted by the noise. And I just say at the end of the event yesterday, we read out the names of the, I believe it's 39 Palestinians who've been murdered in the last month who have been protesting, non-violently protesting, as part of the Great Return March. So the way that those Palestinians have been marking the Nakba, the catastrophe, is by non-violent protest, and they have literally been being gunned down by the Israeli military. So we read out the names of all of those people who had been murdered, just to close out the Wall of Noise and to really acknowledge the incredible sacrifice of the Palestinian people.
Do you think that you've related it to the 1981 kind of Springbok, anti-Springbok movement?
Yeah.
Do you think, sadly, it will take something like a great national treasure, i.e. what rugby is to New Zealand, supposedly, or to some people, for New Zealanders to become more involved or more interested in the liberation of the Palestinian people?
I think that's a very, very good question. I think in general terms, New Zealand society has changed an enormous amount since the days of the Springbok tour. I think that there are a lot more distractions, there are a lot more demands on people's times than there were back in, you know, 1980. But also it's important to recognize that the anti-apartheid campaign was not something that happened in 1981. The anti-apartheid campaign had been going on for 35 years in this country before that happened. So there were people who were struggling against apartheid South Africa for a long time before it really got to a crescendo. And I guess what I would say is that the BDS camp, like the struggle for Palestinians, has been going on for a long time. But I think that that has really crystallized in the BDS campaign. And I think it's a really effective tactic to take. So just earlier this year, Lord decided not to go to Tel Aviv. She had a concert scheduled in Tel Aviv. And after some discussion and some learning that she did, she decided actually she preferred not to go. So she canceled her performance there, and she refunded the money. And I guess one of the great things about the society that we live in now is that people have a lot more access to information. So they hear the mainstream reports about Israel and Palestine, but actually they can go and read for themselves a lot of other stories, a lot of other corridor that's going down about what's actually going on in Palestine. And people are starting to see through, I think, the wall of propaganda, the idea that somehow Palestinians are terrorist organization or whatever else that has been kind of a dominant theme over many years in the mainstream media. And I think people are starting to see a really different picture. And I think that's the amazing thing about access to internet and social media, is that people can get a different story. And I note places like BFM that are willing to do a little bit more courageous reporting and journalism that allows people to hear sort of the other side of the story.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.